All right. Greetings, everyone. Good to see you. This is Tuesday, June 2nd. We're 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and here we are for our first Thursday of the month, World Peace Diet, or World Peace, actually, just we call it the World Peace Meditation, and we're gathering by Zoom, however you'd like to do it, by phone or by computer. And it's good to see you all. Thanks again for joining us. I know we're all busy with 10,000 things, but I think it's really great to take time out of our busy schedules to come together like this and connect with the transpersonal dimension of our consciousness. The personal dimension is important too, but you know, I always remember the old Greek wisdom. They called the mask is the persona. Persona. The sound goes through. That's what the roots are. So we're getting to the real being, not just the persona, the mask. And in the old Zen tradition, that was one of the main questions that you would meditate on. What is your original face before you put the mask on? The mask, they said, what is your original face before your parents were born? Before you were born, and then they went even farther. Before your parents were born, what did you look like then? So, we can think about that. What's our original face? And I'll go ahead, and it looks like people are still joining. Thank you so much, Lisa. We have our wonderful Lisa Wong helping out with letting people in, so that's great. Makes it a little easier here to lead the meditation. And we just go for an hour at the most here. So I'd like to go ahead and get started because time is precious here. And so we can begin. So I'm sitting in our home in Hidden Valley Lake, California, and I'm at the piano, which is nice, and I'm hoping that the recording or that the sound that you get of the piano works. I know at the very beginning it's kind of choppy, but we'll hope that it goes okay. Technology is sometimes our friend, sometimes not. All right, so everybody, if you have any questions or comments or concerns, we have the chat open, so just put them in there if you can't hear me or whatever. And for the meditation, feel free generally the default is that our microphones are muted, so that it's relatively quiet here. But if you want to leave your cameras on, you can, or you can shut them off, however you'd like. And we'll go ahead and begin our meditation time. So I'll be accompanying myself here at the piano. Okay, so let's begin our meditation time, and begin our meditation by connecting with our breathing, just breathing together. This is our connection with the deeper aspects of our consciousness, so we breathe together, knowing that with every exhalation we're free. Our true nature is freedom, so with every exhalation we just exhale together. Letting go of any sense of tension or separateness that may have crept in over the last month since we were together for our meditation. Just letting go of any thoughts of the past, any thoughts of the future. Allowing ourselves to enter more deeply into this moment that we're sharing together right now. This holy present moment. And so as we breathe together, we open to the sense we have of being eternal consciousness. What we are is unborn and undying. That all living beings are expressions of eternal consciousness. That we have a reality that transcends this material plane. We are being. Connect with the qualities of consciousness, the essential dimensions of our true nature, joy, unity, love. Radiance, awareness, harmony, peace, infinite abundance. Breathing and giving thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth, this opportunity to hear the teachings and to make an effort to embody the highest expression of ourselves, of truth, of eternal life, of compassion, of wisdom, healing, of awakening. And so we just feel now our connection with the waves and the ocean of infinite life and infinite time, and the beauty and transiency of this moment, of this experience, of all of the forces that have come together to bring us to this moment. And we give thanks for all of those forces whatever they were in our past, we forgive everything. We let go of everything. And we savor and appreciate the being that we are right now. We open our hearts to life on earth at this time. This unique time, we open our hearts to the inner resources that we have always at our disposal. Creativity, courage, understanding, strength, determination, perseverance, insight, humor, caring. Exuberance, enthusiasm, genius, uniqueness. So we open our hearts also now to the infinite possibilities for this lifetime, that we may be a voice, that we may be a force for healing in this world. We open our hearts to inspiration. And we give thanks for all of the inspiration that we see all around us, manifested all the time, in nature, in the sun rising, in the stars shining, in the winds blowing, and the flowers blooming, the birds migrating. All the animals of the world celebrating their lives. And the human beings in our life who inspire us with their dedication, creativity, loving kindness, caring. Freedom. And we give thanks for this priceless adventure that we are on, knowing that every single day is another chapter in the adventure of our life. And every morning and every afternoon and every evening, we have the opportunity to learn and to grow, to make progress on our path, to contribute, to share, to help others. to explore the mystery of being. So we allow the sun that is shining in the sky, the eternal cosmos, to shine into our heart with light that fills every cell of our body and mind, bringing every cell of our being into radiant health and joy, creativity, and service, cooperation. The sun, and all the sun represents, the great life-giving power shining in every cell of our being, shining at the very heart of the universe, in every dimension of our life. We give thanks for the sun shining in the hearts of all of the animals, all the human beings and every dimension of nature. The great power of eternal life. Open now to the ocean. The ocean of water on this earth and within us. The fluid energy of life itself. Receptivity connecting us with all expressions of life, with the great prayer that lives in the ocean, in the ocean of being. The ocean that is the source of all the waters. The sun brings the water to the sky and it rains down the prayer within every river to reach the ocean. And the prayer within the ocean to receive every river again. Absolutely assured, the great return back home to the ocean of life. And so we now just give thanks for this beautiful earth. for all of the animals celebrating their lives here. And from the heart of our awareness of the unity of the infinite ocean and the infinite sun, the power of creativity and receptivity, we radiate from our heart love and appreciation to all living beings, our teachers, our fellow passengers on this earth, all the animals who live in the oceans and waters of the earth, all the animals that celebrate their lives on the land, all the birds in the sky. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. And we send our love and appreciation to the whole human family. And give thanks that we can be part of the healing, of the awakening of humanity and human consciousness after 10,000 years of woundedness, of delusion. We can contribute our presence example, our consciousness, to be a light of healing in our world. May all human beings awaken. To the one life, shining through all manifestations on this earth and in the countless realms of being, the infinite web of universes. Of what we can only begin to imagine. Breathing and radiating love in all directions. Breathing and radiating compassion to all living beings and to ourselves. Breathing and radiating joy truth of joy that springs from the well of truth at the very core of our being. There is the inextinguishable spring of joy. Breathing and radiating peace. And may this earth continue to unfold in the direction of harmony, of abundance. And may the truth field that surrounds our earth inspire every human being to question the delusions of separateness, domination, and exploitation, and letting go. Of these delusions, ascend to the truth, shining always at the very heart of consciousness. Abiding in our true home always, abiding in the unborn being, abiding in love, abiding in compassion, abiding in joy, abiding in peace, love, compassion, joy, peace. One life, infinite and eternal, and always triumphant over any illusions, is our true nature. So we close our meditation now with a blessing. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. May we all realize the original brightness of our minds and hearts. May we give birth to Homo Ahimsa, the truth of loving kindness, the true species that we are. Conscious and aware of our unity with the source of our life, the source of all life. Brothers and sisters, to all beings, peace is the ultimate reality. Continue to work together to help build a more enlightened society, a world that reflects the truth that we are, and contribute to the healing of consciousness here on planet Earth. We give thanks, knowing this is so. So it is. Thank you, everyone, and I'm so honored to be able to share some thoughts and words and music together with you, and I send my love to you, and Madeline is right here also and sends her love as well. And we have a few minutes here before we close our meditation, so I'd like to maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in our world and maybe do a short reading from the Dhammapada and also see if there's any concerns or questions or sharings that anyone has. You can press *6 to unmute your phone. And so here we are, it's June 2nd, 2022. And our humanity is definitely facing lots of challenges. This time that we have is dedicated primarily to focusing on the positive, in the sense of the real, our true nature, and the truth that what we are is not merely the material experiences that we're having, but the life that makes this whole thing possible. And so this is kind of an, I'm not sure what the word is, kind of a subversive kind of a way of looking at life from the point of view of our materialist society. And we're not encouraged to do this, because if we do this, then we find power, happiness, creativity, and freedom, and the ability to actually transform our lives instead of merely being consumers and being afraid of germs and authorities. So we are the authority, and what we are serves the highest authority. So we have to, I think, really remember that, and remember the ancient wisdom teachings that this is one incarnation of many. So don't get too short-sighted here. You got to keep a broad view of things and see the bigger picture, and that what we are manifests in countless different ways. And each one of us can understand that in our own way. There's no dogma or doctrine here, but to understand that we have been in many ways led astray and limited. And I think that's part of the control of materialism, when we reduce cows and pigs and chickens and fishes and other animals to mere commodities. Pretty soon the same thing happens to us, and we don't realize that we're much more than a commodity, just as they are much more than a commodity. We are magnificent beings, and when we see that in ourselves, we can see it in others, and as we see it in others, we can see it in ourselves. And you won't get this through the mainstream media, I don't think, or through the mainstream medical model or the mainstream economic or governmental model. So we have to really affirm this and understand this in our own lives. And then we can come together and share like this. So these are ancient teachings. And I've been reading, not always, but sometimes, from the Dhammapada, which is an old, relatively short primary text in the Theravada Buddhist tradition. And it's just a few little nuggets, but I think it's interesting, because, you know, when we think of spirituality, many people think of that you have to believe in a God or in God. And that certainly can be true. It can be part of spirituality, but it's important to remember that there are quite a few religions on earth, right? Major religions, like there's Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Judaism and Jainism and Shintoism, and then there's a whole lot of indigenous traditions, Taoism, Confucianism, and some of those have a deity, right? Some of the religions have a deity. They're sort of focused on a God, where we have that as a focus of the of the tradition, but most of those, or more than half, don't have that, really. They don't, that's not part of it, but it's there, but they are spiritual traditions. So it's really up to us, I think, in many ways, how we want to proceed in terms of that. But I think, it's a never ending exploration and understanding and, adventure of discovery. The Buddhist tradition, which we're reading from, the Buddha maintained what is referred to as the noble silence when he was asked this question, if there is a God or not. And he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He said, just find out what the truth is in your own mind. Just find out yourself. It's really a do-it-yourself kit. And I think that's what I love about these wisdom teachings. It's really up to us to purify our consciousness, to awaken to ever deeper levels of awareness, and to try things out, see what works, see how we live our life. Are we learning and growing and becoming more joyful and empowered and abundant in our awareness and at peace within ourselves, no matter what's happening in the outer world? What contributes to that? How do we really make a positive difference in the world and for our own spiritual awakening? So spirituality is nothing exotic. It's merely connecting with the deeper levels of truth beyond the material level, which we're told falsely is the only thing. So the Dhammapada, I'll read this chapter. It's a spiritual text, but it doesn't have... it has some metaphysics, but not a lot of metaphysics. It's mainly practical kinds of ideas and, in a way, instructions. This is number 12, and it's called Oneself. Oneself, I like that. Oneself, okay. So this is it. If one knew oneself to be precious, one would guard oneself with care. I mean, already I have to sit down. I'm already sitting down, but you know. If we knew our, I mean, think of that. I mean, that is like so profound. If one knew oneself to be precious, one would guard oneself with care. I mean, that's it. Guard oneself. Guard oneself. What is the self? Guard your mind. We used to say at the farm in Tennessee in the hippie commune days, guard your gourd. Guard your gourd. Gourd is, of course, your head, right? Don't read junk. Don't watch junk. Don't listen to junk. Don't think junk thoughts, in a sense. I mean, guard your gourd. Be aware. You are precious. I mean, really. Okay. If one knew oneself to be precious, one would guard oneself with care. The sage will watch over herself in any part of the night. In first establishing himself in what is proper, and only then teaching others, the sage will not be stained. Right, so it's just basically, we can only teach what we are actually living. We can't teach anything else. Emerson said that once. He said, who you are speaks so much more loudly than what you're saying. But we have to understand that's the key, I think, to effective vegan advocacy too. It's embodying the teachings, embodying Homo Ahimsa, as Judy Carman has written about in her book, Homo Ahimsa, embodying nonviolence and loving kindness. As one instructs others, so should one do oneself. Only the self-controlled should restrain others. Truly, it's hard to restrain oneself. So again, we see all these things. Everybody's complaining. I just read today how those so-called leaders are telling everybody they have to wear masks, and none of them are doing it. Right? Even Trudeau never does. Get Newsom, all these people, but that's just a kind of a humorous thing. But the idea that, you know, we could actually live our lives in a way that our actions are our teaching. That's really what Gandhi emphasized, right? He said, when someone said, what is your message? He just said, my life. Wow, my life is my message. So there's no such thing as small things. Everything is significant, every action that we do. Oneself, indeed, is one's own protector. What other protector could there be? With self-control, one gains a protector hard to obtain. Again, these are jewels of an unimaginable depth, really. Oneself, indeed, is one's own protector. What other protector could there be? This is about taking responsibility for your life and never being a victim, right? I mean, you are the protector of your mind and your life, and hold that space and bring that awareness in all of our relations with others, and know that we can be a blessing to them as we do this really for ourselves. By oneself alone is evil done. Born of oneself, produced by oneself, it grinds down those devoid of wisdom as a diamond grinds down a gem. They who cover themselves with their own corrupt conduct, like a creeper covers a tree, do to themselves what an enemy wishes for them. That's, again, we very often do to ourselves far worse things than our worst enemy could ever do, right? So to understand the power of our thoughts, of our actions, of our speech, and really question what we're told in our society. It is easy to do what is not good and things that harm oneself. It is very difficult to do things beneficial and good. The unwise who rely on evil views to malign the teachings of the noble arhats who live the Dharma produce fruit that destroys themselves, like the kataka reed that dies upon bearing fruit. Okay, so you understand that. It's basically, don't talk against or harm those who are bringing loving kindness into our world. Evil is done by oneself alone. By oneself is one defiled. Evil is avoided by oneself. By oneself alone is one purified. Purity and impurity depend on oneself. No one can purify another. There's another huge. No one can purify another. See, that's an interesting point. Don't give up your own welfare for the sake of others' welfare, however great. Clearly know your own welfare and be intent on the highest good. So that's the end of that one. And that last one's kind of an interesting one, you know, because it kind of sounds selfish. And I think in a way, if it's not understood properly, the idea is that, you know, look out for yourself. Don't give up your own welfare for the sake of others' welfare. But the Buddhist ideal is the Bodhisattva who does whatever he or she can do to be a blessing to others. But the whole idea is that we can't give what we don't have. And if we don't, I think what is meant here by welfare is our spiritual awareness. That's our real welfare. And if we give that up in order to serve others in some way, we lose the ability to really be of service and benefit to others, because it's really the quality of our consciousness that determines everything. And so if we can keep that foremost, then our wisdom is wisdom, and we're not harming others by trying to help them. And that happens a lot. You've heard me talk about the old Buddhist metaphor of the monkey who's very compassionate and lacks in wisdom. And so when the monkey sees the fish down in the stream, runs down and brings the fish up to the safety of the tree, and it means well, but the whole idea is you cannot have compassion without wisdom, effective compassion without wisdom. And that takes time. I mean, that takes, I think really it takes us making the effort to discriminate between our own inner wisdom thoughts and awareness and the cultural program that has basically been bombarding us since we got here. And it's very deeply ingrained. And so that's why I think inner silence is so important, to take time every day to just sit quietly, be aware of our breathing, and get intimately friendly with our own mind and how it works and what we think about and what brings things up, what makes us angry, what distracts us. Just get to know ourselves and watch and bring the mind back and be the witness of all this. Realize that we can watch what's happening. We can see the thoughts and feelings and fears and so forth emerge. But we're the being that's watching and aware. We're the space that holds the whole thing. And when we begin to see that in ourselves, we can see that in others. So if someone manifests anger or frustration at us, we can look beyond the mask and beyond the surface and see the being. And if people are wounded, and they're going to say things that are hurtful, and they do things that are hurtful. But the more we can understand the truth, the more we'll stay on our path. And when this life is over, which it will be in a snap of a finger, and we leave this body, because, I mean, if a few years or a few decades goes by very fast, and that's the one reality, is we're going to definitely be leaving. And when we do, then we'll be bringing with us all the seeds that we've been sowing. We will bring them, no doubt about it. So remember, we're always sowing seeds. And it's not worth it to sow seeds here for short-term benefit. In the long run, the big picture, we'll look back on everything. We'll be aware of everything. And we will we'll learn. We're here to learn. And we're here to contribute. So the thing is, right now, we're going through, for the last couple of years especially, it's such a challenging time. It's like a war against humanity and human consciousness. How do we respond to that? Yeah, this is a big challenge. And can we stay centered in inner peace and freedom and know that our true being is always healthy? And just understand that. It's very important, I think, right now, especially to take care of our health, our physical health. And there's that old saying, I'm not sure exactly how it goes in Latin. It's something like sentis mens in sentis corporis, something like that. But it means a sound mind in a sound body. To really make the effort to have our mind be sound, to meditate, to reflect, to read uplifting books, to spend some time every day maybe being creative, tell the people in our lives and our relationships that we appreciate them, create a healthy, sound mind and relationships, and then the body, really. One of the greatest things I think that's been done to harm humans has been to try to reduce our physical health over the last 2 years, like shutting down gyms, shutting down so many different things, keeping the liquor stores open, making people wear masks so they can't breathe properly, social distancing, keeping people inside. I mean, sunshine, exercise, fresh air, hugs and connections, all these things, these are what make us healthy. And there's something called the quarantine 15. Apparently, people have gained weight over the last 2 years because of the quarantines and because of gyms being shut down. Scores of millions of Americans that usually go to the gym and exercise didn't do that, didn't do yoga, didn't do all these things, put on weight, stayed home, ate junk food more. That's much more devastating than any virus could ever be, just having people not exercise and not relate and not move around and connect with nature and sunshine and the air, the breath. I mean, breath is the most absolute, deepest connection we have with our health and with nature and with life. So don't ever let that be blocked. I mean, as a longtime yogi and meditator, I would never, quite honestly, I mean, I don't know if you maybe don't like it for me to say it, but I would never wear a mask. I mean, it's like, you can't block someone's breath. That is a huge no-no. And so, I think, you know, our breath and our life, you know, these things, are based on the things that harm us this way are based on a medical model that's really obsolete and very harmful. So we have to get back, I think, to the ancient wisdom that sees our oneness with the whole beautiful web of life here with nature. And remember this, you know, these ancient texts. This was written 2,500 years ago, right? I mean, they knew better then how to live than we know now. We have to really have a little humility here and realize that there were civilizations earlier that were far more advanced than we are. I mean, we have fallen very far. And this is the Kali Yuga. This is the dark age in many ways. And our arrogance that we have technology and we really are so much better off than anybody before. You know, we have a lot to learn. And ancient ways of healing and of relating could do us a lot of good. So we have a lot to learn. And I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, to have that kind of humility and to realize that our technology is not going to bring us any answers to our problems. Technology is based on materialism, which is in many ways based on animal agriculture. And it's based on dominating and exploiting animals and us in many ways. So be careful how we use technology and get back to the simple basics of clean air, clean food, loving relationships, and stand straight and tall and don't let anyone take away your dignity or your freedom. Don't let any materialist medical model based on fear and authority do that. Don't comply. You know, as vegans, we don't comply with violence. And so it's a challenging time, but to find our way through all this, because we're still in it here. That's for sure. So I won't say any more. Let's see. We got a question here. Which version of the Dhammapada do I recommend? I think there's so many different versions and there's some really beautiful ones. This particular one I'm reading is the Gil Fronsdale one. It looks like that. Gil Fronsdale. He's a contemporary California guy. He did a good translation, though, I think. I think it's a good one. But there's the Byron translation, I think it's called. It's a famous one. There's quite a few. And they're all different. Translation is a whole different book in a way. But the teachings come through. So, all right, so let's see. Thank you, Julie, for your kind words about the meditation. I'm so grateful, really, for this opportunity to recollect and to share. And I'm happy. I'm realizing now that it's getting pretty late. Does anyone have a comment, question, or concern you'd like to share with us or into the space here? I know it's in many ways it's nice to just be here and share our breath together. But if anyone wants to bring something up, we can. And that's so good to see those of you who have your video cameras on, to see your faces. And those of you who don't, I know you're there. And it's always an honor to be able to share like this. So. All right. Well, if there's no comments or questions, that's totally fine. a beautiful day here, and we have every day an opportunity to learn and to grow. And instead of, I think, wishing that other people would change, to realize that actually I don't have power over them, but I do have power over this one. So how do I bring my own consciousness into a more proper alignment with the truth of being? I think that's really a healthy attitude. And it's always difficult, really, because we're kind of taught to look outside of ourselves for change, but it's always within. All right, so let me see, just one second. Madeline, are you here?
Yes.
Oh, good. So Madeline's here. We'll go ahead and we'll say our prayer. It looks like Andy has a quick...
All right, we have
20 seconds, Andy. You want to...
Well, I was just going to ask your thoughts on, I mean, I'm very against the vaccine passport, the fake passport. I was just curious what your thoughts are on those, the fake vaccine passports.
Oh, yeah. I saw that this, I mean, it's kind of a scandal right now, but apparently all these people in Spain, some of them extremely wealthy, multimillionaire, one guy's even the head of a gigantic pharmaceutical company, they all got fake vaccine passports because they wanted to be able to travel. And they didn't want to have the jab.
Right.
And so it's obvious. But I mean, I doubt everything. I think there's probably an agenda for that too, because they can say, well, you got these fake vaccine passports, so we can't have that. So we have to do something like Bill Gates said. You can't have something that people can fake. You have to have something hardwired. Like, we ought to put a chip inside of each person.
Oh.
No, they can use this. So be vigilant. I'm just saying, be vigilant. You know, these are challenging times. Question everything. Remember, we're not livestock. You know, we don't turn cows and pigs and chickens into livestock, and we don't allow ourselves to be turned into livestock. So maintain freedom. Question the official narratives. We'll have time on our third Thursday call, which will be on June 16th, to dive into all the various permutations of what's happening right now, and it's changing every day.
So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Andy. Yeah, let's focus on the life that we have, the precious life, and finding opportunities to connect in solidarity with each other, with nature, and know that there's many people like us that are awakening and that do want to create a world of freedom and peace for everyone. So let's say our prayer now together, the prayer for compassion. We all know what it is. Please feel free to unmute your phones if you'd like to join the kind of pandemonium here that breaks out when we do this, but it's fun. All right, let's begin together. Here we go.
Compassion
circles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
Okay, let's do it again. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Great. And now with feeling, just knowing it's true. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. So it is. Absolutely. We love you. Thank you, everyone,
you.
For joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, everyone.
Stay in touch, and we'll see everyone the third Thursday. Thank you. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much love, Will.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.